Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
More powerful than even the fear of death itself is the will to win.
Which is why I'm here begging.
You really think you can beat him?
Trust me.
Today with the rain, it's the most dangerous trick in the world.
That all depends on how good you are in the rain.
Let's race.
Talk to me, James.
Don't go to men who are willing to kill themselves driving in circles looking for normality.
Nicky Lauda, trapped in a searing inferno of 800 plus degrees.
I feel responsible for what happened.
Watching you win those races, you were equally responsible for getting me back in the car.
Showdown between you and Nicky is all anyone wants to see.
That's the trailer for the movie Rush. It's Ron Howard's latest promised blockbuster, having all to do with Formula One racing. It proves to be exciting. At the very heart of a movie like this, you've got something like competition, raw rivalry. Where does that fit into a Christian worldview? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, October the 4th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Ted Giese joins us for the first half hour or so. We'll be reviewing the movie Rush. Then, listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll be responding to as much of it as we possibly can. The email bag is full and the comment line is ready to go. We'll be responding for about an hour or so. And then, since it is Friday, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got four great soundbites lined up to play for you. All you have to do is listen, and then after you've listened, you give us a call, you send us an email, you send us a tweet, or you visit our Facebook fan page, and your vote decides which one will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, and it's also your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package, and I Have Issues t-shirt, and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, or note and notepad. During Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Or to vote in advance for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He joins us every week to review a movie. Today it's the movie Rush from Ron Howard, and he has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
This is pretty raw competition, raw rivalry kind of stuff. Can that still, in a positive way, resonate with a Christian who's watching this film?
In a positive way, yeah, that's an interesting question, because from reading Scripture, the Christian will have come across rivalries before. A couple of the big ones that kind of come to mind would be David and Saul would be one, and of course, in that rivalry, David isn't really exactly a willing participant in that. They're both anointed king of Israel at the same time, and then also you have Jacob and Esau. Right, and that one is a little more, with the mom's help, a little more going on in that rivalry, and that resolves itself a little bit different later on in their lives. But yeah, rivalry is not one of those positive things. Like, between Christians particularly, we aren't supposed to be embroiled in rivalry with each other. And then we're supposed to treat the rest of the world even better than we treat each other, actually. So we really shouldn't be seeking out rivalry. Because in this case, in this movie, it's not just the sporting element of it. Like, all of it gets underneath the skin of these characters, and these people are, when you're watching it, they're not exactly pleasant individuals as you're watching. They're not likable all the way through the movie.
You say the genre of this, which is kind of the hallmark of many of Ron Howard's films, that are well known, of course, is True Story. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, this is like based on a true story or based on actual events kind of a thing. So he's taken something that people know really well. If you're into Formula One car racing, you know about Niki Lauda and you know about his accident in 1976. You know about that stuff. So it's as well known as if you were really into the space program and you would know about Apollo 13, right? So it's really well known, but he's also taking that and making it into a dramatic story that is done in 2 hours. So how much of that is going to be super, super detailed in a factual kind of historical way? Some of that stuff gets jettisoned along the way, I think. When you're watching it, it also is like built up for drama. So these people did have a really strong sense of competition with each other, and they also didn't really like each other all the time off of the racetrack. The movie does suggest that later in life, once they'd gotten through a bunch of things together, they had more respect for each other than they did to start with. But they really still end up being rivals even in the end. So it made me think of this passage from Proverbs. There's a little one, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. So it's kind of like these two people are just at each other, and it makes them better competitors. But, you know, does it make them better people, I guess, is what the movie is trying to get at as well.
Do you think that that's kind of the question or the message of the movie, that this kind of rivalry or even competition cannot make the two rivals better in the end?
That's where it goes. I mean, like by the very end of the whole thing, they aren't friends. Like a lot of times, you'll have a movie like this where, you know, they're sports rivals, and in the end, they're friends. Well, these guys don't end up being friends. I guess they become somewhat personally better themselves because they start to dislodge themselves from their fascination with just the racing. So eventually, once Hunt wins enough races for himself, then he kind of walks away from racing. He becomes a broadcast personality in Great Britain. And that's kind of, at the end, they kind of talk about some of that. It's a biopic, so they kind of tie up their loose ends at the end. And Niki Lauda ends up doing other things in his life as well. And he, more than anything in this movie, it's more his story than it is James Hunt's story. Niki Lauda is the one that really shines that storyline. And he's even less likable than the one that Chris Hemsworth is playing, James Hunt. So it's very, it's one of these movies where these are not likable people, but they do experience some growth by the end.
You say there is a notable moment of some reconciliation or forgiveness in the film. How would you describe it without giving too much of the plot away?
Well, car racing is dangerous, so there are accidents, and one of them has a bad accident, and it's the result of the other. And once the one that had the accident comes back from the accident, the one that caused it, in a certain respect, comes and says, I feel responsible for what happened. So here's an admission of guilt. And the one who was in the hospital says, trust me, watching you win those races while I was fighting for my life, you were equally responsible for getting me back in the car. So he absolves him. In a way, it's not as clear as I forgive you, you know, but it is an absolution to his request because of his guilt for causing the accident in the first place. So you do see that between the two characters, which is a good thing to see in a film.
I want to talk to you about the way that this film kind of capitalizes on, for lack of a better word, our desire for the adrenaline rush when we go to movies like this, because if it's a racing movie and some of it takes place on the track, even if you know how the story comes out, you're a racing fan. Part of that, even the title, implies that what you're going there for is that adrenaline. What are your thoughts on that, in general, on observing films that kind of infuse you with your own hormones?
It's interesting because I was sitting in the theater, and there was a woman sitting next to me. My wife was sitting on one side, and then on the other side, there was a lady who was there with some people that she was with. And she was having the same kind of reactions in this movie that you see people have in a horror film. She was horrified by what she was seeing. Her hands were in front of her eyes. She was jumping. She was just agitated. For her, like, I don't know, maybe she got dragged there by, a fiance or somebody, I don't know. But she was having a real physiological experience in the theater. And when you're in a movie theater and you're watching something super exciting, you're in kind of a dark room. There's people there. If it's like an opening night or something, then there's a little extra excitement. And people do have physical experiences. Like, it gets under their skin, and sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way. But and I guess it depends on what you like to see. This woman was not having a great time, but other people were having a good time. So I think that's one of the things that drives people to go see movies, is being kind of taken away. This is the escapist element of watching films. They themselves may never end up being a Formula One race car driver, but for 2 hours they can kind of feel like they got an inside track on that.
Well, that's an interesting thought. When we come back, I'd like Pastor Giese's thoughts on that, because much of our movie watching, much of our media consumption period, whether it be movies or television or the internet, is essentially escapist, isn't it? I wonder whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. We're reviewing the movie Rush. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. A few more minutes with him, and then Issues Etc. comment line and your email. Stay tuned.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas; Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California; Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming; Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas; Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming; Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California; St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa; Redeemer Lutheran, Kakabeka Falls, Ontario, Canada; St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin; and St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Friday afternoon, October the 4th. We are reviewing the movie Rush, Ron Howard's latest movie, with Pastor Ted Giese. He's an instructor for a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary in Canada, titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Pastor Giese, you mentioned something before the break that I think is kind of a question that many people have. All of our media consumption, but maybe especially our movie media consumption, is essentially escapist, isn't it?
It is. I think that, like, for instance, there's one coming up soon called Gravity, and I'm kind of interested in seeing that, and we might end up doing a review of that one too. And that one's in outer space, and Sandra Bullock is astronaut. Well, I'm literally never going to be an astronaut. I can almost guarantee you that the work God has for me to do doesn't involve going into outer space. So that's going to be a different kind of experience to see that. I guess what it boils down to is the choices in what you're watching. Like, are you like sitting down to watch a race car driving movie is one thing. Really trying to get into the mind of a serial killer, probably not such a good thing, right? There are some choices that people need to make when they're deciding how they're going to spend their time when it comes to these escapist kind of endeavors.
You say that Ron Howard does, as a director, make some choices that are pretty mainstream Hollywood in order to tell the story, having to do with the language, with the sexual content. What are your concerns there? How would you counsel?
Yeah, for me, going to see this movie, I didn't need to see a bunch of nudity. I didn't need to hear a lot of language. I didn't need that. I was more interested in the story he was telling. I was more interested in the performances. There's Daniel Brühl, who played Niki Lauda, was fantastic. I could have gotten as much out of this movie without any of that. So as consumers, I don't know how to let people know. Like, you could just boycott things, I guess, but you kind of want people to know you can tell that story without that stuff. That stuff is not necessary for telling the story. Even, like, one or two instances of it, just to kind of set the case, like, so you know, well, yes, this James Hunt is a womanizer and he's trouble. But it doesn't need to be returned to over and over again. I think there's just an expectation in Hollywood that if it's for adults, it has to have certain content. So it gets into like the HBO kind of stuff. Like, there's lots of TV shows that have piles of extra content that aren't necessary to tell the story. But it's there anyways, because it's kind of expected. Now, I imagine for like this movie, once it gets to cable, and not HBO kind of cable, but just like, FX or something like that, they'll take a bunch of language out, they'll take a bunch of the nudity out, and what is actually the main story is still going to be there, and the race car driving is going to be great, everything's going to be fantastic. It just isn't necessary. It isn't necessary to tell a story. So as a Christian, you have to think to yourself, well, do I want to be there for all of that? I guess, like, one thing that I do is, on these reviews, I always put the rating information. And then there's a little button there. You just click on that, and you can go right to IMDb, the Internet Movie Database. And any movie that comes out, even in advance of it coming out, or especially once it's just come out, somebody has gone in, and they've put all the incidences of everything that may be objectionable to anybody in there. So some of it might spoil the movie, but you can always take a look. If you're a parent, and you're thinking about watching a movie with a kid, you can go and look. You can see what's in it. Somebody's actually spent the time to put that together. Be aware of what you're going to see, and that's one of the key things, and you don't have to see everything. You don't, like, no one says you got to. Like, if you don't like stuff, don't see it. If you know a particular thing bothers you, don't watch it. And lots of times we talk about this is, your conscience, right? Where's your conscience at? Like, have you ever seen anything and thought to yourself, boy, that should really bother me? I wonder why it's not bothering me. Maybe you've got a hurt conscience. Maybe your conscience has been damaged in some way. On the flip side, if your conscience is super tender and you know things bother you, there's no reason to put yourself, like that poor woman that was sitting next to me, like it was bothering her. Like, she could have got up and got some popcorn or something. It would have been okay.
Folks, you can read Pastor Ted Giese's review of Rush and his other movie reviews at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Ted, thank you again.
You're welcome. Thanks, Todd.